It doesn't even hit the record button. Why doesn't it do that? That's annoying. Idiot. Really don't need to do that. What is the purpose? I've got my cream soda. I'm ready to be gaming. A little bit of gaming, yes. Indeed. But real quick, I am going to do... I'll probably put this up as like a bonus on Draconian Discourse. But I just don't want to change the title and whatnot. But yeah, we got... As a quick little follow-up to the previous episode. Previous episode and all of the topic, I just so happened to come across an old video that I think sums up the entire situation pretty dang well here. So I'm gonna be small once more because I guess this is what I'm going to relegate myself to is this little bottom corner here. So I mean, it's fine. One of the classic student speaking with student video type of things. There's a SM58 right there. Very nice. It was interesting. I was discussing this with somebody I know, and an acquaintance, let's say, and he was really sort of frustrated on a very surface level with Ben Shapiro, because I think it's just, you know, people know Ben Shapiro just sort of colloquially as a household name, probably from just the YouTube videos, or at least from that generation, they would know him from just the YouTube videos where he's, you know, just talking about, you know, videos like this, such as this, clips such as this is really kind of what popularized him and whatnot. And so there was a, you know, this frustration that this acquaintance of mine was having with this perception with the that he has with Shapiro, with, you know, he's exploitative of, you know, going to the universities and taking the video and then uploading the clips. You know, you can just make a ton of money off of that. And I'm like, he's invited there, and like you're saying, he's like victimizing the angry people rather than the people being angry, who should probably just like not just come in guns a-blazing. And this is actually the interesting thing about it, is that it's completely ignorant of the entire situation, because like he's invited by Young Americans Foundation to come over and speak, and then he speaks and does his entire topic, and oftentimes he's shouted out and he's protested out, and it's just insane people being insane. But then every single time he takes the Q&A section, he says, the rule I've got is if you disagree, you come to the front of the line. And they enact that rule every single time. And so it's just strange when it's like the people who disagree, they come to the front of the line because he wants to hear from them. And it's like, you've only seen the clips because those are the ones that are, that are interesting. But it's like, you don't have to do, like, it's sort of a cherry picking, I suppose, to take just, this is the situation that he's known well for. And it's like, well, yeah, when people say controversial things, and it's sort of this uproar and whatnot, like, obviously that is what is going to be popular about it. But you're sort of conflating the, you know, those particular instances with the actual people who speak, you know, come in good faith in order to just speak about disagreements, and to hear the other side and to learn from them, rather than people who just come up all emotional and, you know, try to be right fighters and try to just, like, I don't know, beat them down with their with their position. It's just kind of strange when that's the way that it's framed, where it's like, so is it Ben's fault for responding to somebody walking up and being an ass, or is it their fault for walking up and being an ass? Like, if you come over like guns a-blazing and you say something rude, or you're behaving like a child and you're freaking out, then is it your fault for doing that, or is it his fault for actually responding to that like an adult? Because it's kind of interesting, because when you actually have people acting civilized like adults, then you actually don't you don't see that reaction. And I think that it was just sort of a bias on my acquaintance's part, where it's just like, well, I kind of agree with the things that these people are saying, and they're young and whatnot, that there's this bias that I kind of connect with these people more than I connect with Ben's position. So clearly he's mistreating them. And it's just like, well, how about you arm yourself with the best information you have possible to be able to argue your position and do it respectfully? I think you would actually turn a lot more heads and actually, change a lot more minds rather than coming in being abrasive on purpose. Like, you don't really change minds just by being a jerk. I saw a clip where a caller came in and said something, I don't know, said something communistic, I think, but, you know, then like effectively called him short. Like, he was just like, you know, do you go to the which table do you go at, because like, haha, you're like 5'9" or whatever. And it's just like, alrighty. I don't know, it's just a funny situation. But anyhow, this is effectively the comment that I'd responded to that was discussing sort of the labor theory of value, the communism, all of those ideas. So without further ado, let's see if you can hear it.
Let's say you own.
Yeah, I think you can hear it, but.
So let's say you own a pencil factory. I'm a worker in that pencil factory. You can have all the machinery, you can buy all the raw materials you want, but without me and presumably many others like me to assemble the pencils, all you would have is a pile of wood, yellow paint, graphite, rubber, and aluminum.
Okay.
That would be worth it. So, and that is worth less than the pencil when you try and sell it. And yet all of that value added by labor, apart from the wages that you give me, which, if we're being honest, there is a major power imbalance in our ability.
See, this is the funny thing about it, and I discussed this. It's like, yes, you are correct in that, you know, we are creating something that is of greater value by me taking resources and by you assisting me in putting them together by doing a job that I pay you to do. It's like, yes, we have created something that's more valuable than the sum of its parts. And part of that goes into it is labor. You know, is that thing of value a commodity, or is that thing like, I don't even know what he's necessarily arguing what labor is in this context, but it's like, is that thing what you like, is that not something that you can just get from like, it's like, you need me, this is what he's gonna say in a second.
Ability to negotiate that.
If all that putting the pencil together requires is basic use of your prefrontal cortex, then yes, your labor is alienable at lower rates than if you are a doctor. That's not the fault of the person who owns the machinery.
but if you didn't have workers like me,
it's weird to hear Ben in 1x speed. People say that he speaks quickly, and it's like, I listen to him at 2x speed at this point, and it's just a little bit funny to hear him not in 2x speed. Like, people say he speaks quickly now.
And your pencil factory, and you are just one man.
But I do. I have millions of people who are willing to do that voluntarily for me.
If you're just one person trying to assemble pencils, you're not going to get very far. You need workers. Capital needs labor.
Capital does need labor. Yeah, like, in order to create a product, you do need laborers. And so what do? You pay for labor. You trade so that you can get the labor. Like, of course. It's just economically illiterate, selfish, like, stupidity. That's just like, but you need the labor, and therefore, without me, it's just like, yeah, this is the pitch you should be making to your employer. It's like, hey, you need my labor. My labor's worth this actually more than you think it's worth. It's like, I'm investing in you when I invest in your labor. That is what that is. When I go and work for a company, they are investing in me for my labor, for my time and energy and expertise and efforts, what have you. It's like, that's what you're at, like, that's already the case. It's actually quite fair. Like, it's just, it's funny.
Definitely more than labor needs capital. That's why you have worker cooperatives where the workers
are fundamentally disagree on the
distinction. It's funny. Like, capital needs labor infinitely more than labor needs capital. But yeah, he responds in, you know, Wait a minute. Is this... The yarmulke looks painted on. It's probably just the thing
between
here.
Capital and labor. Capital is just a term for contrast. Money. If you're talking about money, money does not grow from the ground. Money only has value because it was traded for labor at one point or the products of labor. So if I take my money and I buy machinery, I have invested my labor in doing that because I didn't get the money from nowhere. Even if I got it from my parents, my parents didn't get the money from nowhere. The people who built the machines required me to trade something of value to them in order for me.
Or if somebody invested in you, you know, if I want to start my own company. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own company, and that company is going to give me, you know, I go to a bank and the bank gives me a loan. That's an investment that they're making in me. That didn't come from nowhere. Like,
to obtain the machines, the people who invented the machines required people to pay them in order to get the patent to that machine so they could build the machine. The problem that I'm seeing in what you're saying is you have still failed. If what you're talking about is a system of voluntarism, you still have not named any area in which we disagree, and yet you're telling me that you're a socialist and I'm a free marketer. So one of us has got this wildly wrong, and I'm pretty sure it's not me.
The differentiation I draw, and I'm not alone in this, I'm not one person trying to redefine anything, the differentiation I and many others like me draw between socialism and capitalism.
The term differentiation, and I think I've used it before, it's like, I don't know if technically if it's a real word, but distinction just sounds more refined. It's a more refined term, frankly.
Capitalism is that under capitalism, when you as the owner of the factory, you give me a wage. The wage could be $7.25, it could be $15, it could be whatever an hour.
Right.
Yeah, if you don't like it, go and take your labor somewhere else. Like, if either you take it somewhere else and find a better deal, or you renegotiate the deal, or you take the deal, go along with it for however long, and then attempt to gain more expertise through, you know, through effort, and then maybe you'll be able to move up. Like,
right? But you give me a wage, all the additional profit above the made from selling the pencils or whatever good you produce above what is reinvested into the company ultimately goes to you or the investors, those who own shares in the means of production.
Right.
I think my CPU spiking is causing the output to
under
freak
socialism
out.
Those Maybe. People are the workers, and the example I give again is cooperative enterprise.
No, those are the people who are investing the risk. So if they carry the risk, then they get the benefit. The owner of the factory carries the risk, therefore he gets the benefit. The workers in the company you mentioned, if that company were to go bankrupt, they would carry the risk as well.
Is that actually like freezing like that? Because this is going to piss me off if that's actually a thing.
The benefit. If the company goes bankrupt and this guy has to pay off all of his debts, the worker may lose his job, but he's not the one who's going to incur the debt of having gone bankrupt. If you incur risk, then you're the one who pays the downside. The worker does not pay the downside. Okay, it is the investor who pays the downside, who invested in all the machinery, who sunk millions of dollars into making your labor productive. Because guess what? Your labor is without that machinery. Gunk. Nothing. You don't have a pencil to put together. You don't got the wood. You don't got the paint. You don't got the rubber. You don't got the metal. You got nothing. Right? You're sitting there, standing.
See, that's the hilarious thing is that, like, there's a balance to be had here where it's like, oh, if you don't have my labor, then you can't get the product. And it's like, yeah. And if you don't have my capital, then you can't get the product either. So let's help each other out here, and I'm willing to pay you just compensation for it, and if you don't like it, then you can find a better deal somewhere else. But every single time this conversation is had, like, what the socialist, the communist is arguing is just that they don't want to actually put in a day's work, honestly. Like, at least that's what it seems like. That's what it comes off as, vast majority of the time, where it's just like, don't you actually want to be successful? Don't you want to be rich? Don't you want to be doing well? Doesn't really make much sense. I don't know.
Outside twiddling your thumbs. It required somebody to invest. Who do you think put more in? The guy who spent millions of dollars buying all the machinery, leasing the place, making sure there was a management structure, doing the LLC formation, making sure all the tax code was in compliance, or you standing outside because you can't.
Running a business is a very difficult job, and I'm not entirely confident in my ability to do so if I were to... It's like, you know, I think I've built up a certain amount of a skill set where it's like, oh yeah, maybe now I feel a little more confident in it, but it's like, that is a lot of stuff to do. Meow, meow, meow. Hello. and welcome and meow to you too.
You can stick a piece of graphite into a piece of wood. Now we're done.
And it's factual.
And I made results on.
Nobody asked, but it's like the one of the first things in this is, businesses are difficult. If socialists understood economics, they would not be socialists. Yup, that is the case. So it's just it's funny when we end up coming back into this this sort of a situation. It's like I sort of just ran into this video and it was like, oh yeah, it kind of just ties that right back into where we were at yesterday. And so I had a little tweet thread that I made. So the reason that I did this in screenshots, first of all, is because I was quote tweeting and it was like, what do you call it? I didn't quote tweet. I was going to just quote tweet, but then I saw that it had been deleted. I was like, okay. So this account seems to just post like memes of a racial quality of some kind, of a racial element of some kind. And it's just, I've seen these memes crop up more and more often. And maybe that's just because like Twitter is less stringent on it. And it's like, yeah, it's free speech and whatnot. Like I, you know, would defend anybody's right to say things that I believe are uncouth or incorrect. But it has been, as I say in this, it's been concerning to see more and more of this happening. So I say, I find it increasingly concerning that people continue to equate racial identity with achievement. Collectivism is a scourge, no matter who it favors. A single white person can no more claim credit for civilization, no more than a single black or brown or purple person can. And, you know, it's like you can reverse that in any particular way. You know, you can say the white person, you can say the black, like any of those, literally any person in any category as an individual can't claim that they created or responsible for the creation of civilization. The civilization was sort of an invisible hand thing. It's sort of a phenomenon that came into fruition simply because it was the objectively the best way to do things. You know, morals and system, moral systems and everything, maybe just humanity in and of itself, or being bipedal, or having an occipital frontal lobe of like, you know, just all of these things, it just sort of came into fruition, I think, because it was better. I'm sorry for meowing, that was rude of me. I don't think there's anything rude about that, really. But I say, no, only individuals can be held accountable for their actions. To attempt to hold individuals accountable for positive or negative consequences is a dangerous folly. We are responsible for the we are each responsible for the consequences we create. We cannot claim the positive while ignoring the negative. He replaced it with this, which is funnier, but it seems most of the time I agree with the logic, but I can't agree on the point. Both individuals and groups who previously created value inevitably will continue to do so, but we as individuals can't claim something we had no hand in. And I actually didn't describe for like audio-only purposes, but it's just a meme that says, I made this, and it's like a white person. With like a hat, I suppose? I don't know. And it's like, you made this, and then the black person holds it, and then it's like the black person says, no, I made this, and they light it on fire, and then it says, oh, what, why would you burn up civilization? Then it says, you did this, and then it says, we was kings. And it's like, even like both of these perspectives are just like strange, and I don't like, it's just a gross oversimplification of the situation in a way that I just don't really think makes a lot of sense and is really just not very productive. Like the irony isn't lost on me that when or I suppose I get the overt point, I suppose, that it's like you can't, you know, like you can't take credit for things that you weren't actually involved in. But I think it also accidentally does it with white people as well, when it's really the existence of civilization is not like the responsibility of anybody, any individual. And also like we was kings, like, you know, I also think that is a silly idea to go back and be like, yeah, they used to have like kings and stuff. It's like, yeah, kings were not like good. And actually you live more like a king when you are like the kings of yesterday are the lower class of today. Like, we have incredible quality of life, even for people who do not make a lot of money. And I really think it's just historically ignorant to sort of pretend like we are responsible for people for things happening when we weren't around in either the negative or the positive, and also that we somehow have some sort of a, I don't know, right to wrong, or wrong to right, I should say. It's just a little bit strange. When there's just like, we're doing pretty well, and I don't think anybody should wish they were kings, because we're kind of living better than kings, and most more people are living with a very high quality of life that was impossible back in the day when they actually had truly had kings. And then obviously this one is funny for multiple reasons. Part of it is just the cartoonishness of it. Like, this is, like, I guess that's cartoonish, but I don't know. It's just, it's Doge. It's Doge and Cheems. Like, it's a Doge meme. And it's like, you know, they invented everything, and it's like ancient Egypt and the pyramids are like ships of some kind, and they're like blasting off, and it's like, Whitey stole it, can't invent again. And it's like, this, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's ironic and it's funny because like, as I say, I can't agree with, I can agree with the logic, but I can't agree with the point. Like, the point is just like, you know, we invented everything and then the Whitey stole it, but you know, we've already invented everything, so there's no additional inventions that we can make. It's like, you know, I think there is an irony to that, and obviously in a sense, but at the same time, it's like, if you took a white person and like just plopped them off in the middle of some village that is outside of like sort of a modern civilization, and it was just like a white baby, and you could sort of like magically guarantee that this white baby would actually be cared for, where it's, I don't know, basically adopted by the village or whatever, that white baby would just become part of the village and would behave in the exact same way that the village behaves, because it, you know, little baby human beings, they kind of just go off of, it's monkey see, monkey do. They go off of what they see. And it's like, well, this is the way that behavior functions, and so this is the way that I'm going to do it. I think sort of the left has that, naivete about, people just like, that they're all really good, Matt. But it's like, no, that they're not. You know, every single year, a new contingency of barbarians invades civilization, and they're called babies. Like, they're just, you know, these not exactly these blank slates, but there's these machines, and these machines that have these built-in instincts that if they are not taught to properly handle them, then they are going to be defeated by them. Like, inevitably they are going to end up as monsters, and we actually have to all fight that on an individual basis, and we won't learn how to do that otherwise. You know, there were there were studies done, I forget who did it, where it was just like this idea where if you just like put a child, you don't teach them language or anything, and you just watch them grow up, then eventually when they come to be a certain age, they'll be speaking a language, and it'll just be God's language, and all they did was like grunt. And it's like, interesting how genetics has absolutely nothing to do really with you know, outward capabilities in the sense of being able to communicate with people. Like, communication, it seems, is a system that actually has to be taught, and we have to sort of reverse engineer that otherwise if we're not actually taught. And that maybe what was originally just grunts is just eventually everybody agreed on that, and as they were raising their children and children, then eventually that transformed into a far more sophisticated set of learning. So it's like, we should actually be, and technology is the exact same way. Originally, you're a caveman, you just got a stick, and that's my technology. I use the stick to hit things. That's the purpose. Like, but if you take a caveman and plop him down into modern society, first of all, he's going to need vaccines immediately, or else you breathe on him and he dies. But, you know, Is this seriously going to be, like, lagging every, like, 2.5 seconds? That better not actually be happening on the stream. Like, that's just going to be, like, so incomprehensibly obnoxious. Like, out of this world levels of obnoxious. It's just obnoxious. See, what really grinds my gears is when, it's still lagging! Why? How am I supposed to play? I was gonna just play a game later. How am I supposed to deal with this? It has nothing to do with biology and everything to do with culture. When it comes to intelligence and ability to achieve and all of this, it has everything to do with culture. Because, like, all of the information that we've sort of amassed and created, it doesn't, like, just magically show up when you have the correct genes. Actually, if you are not taught that, then you don't get to benefit from it. It kind of goes away. So it, like, you could release a bunch of, like, feral children, or I don't know, collect a bunch of feral children and put them on an island or something. I guess that's just Lord of the Flies. Or just, you know, put children on an island and that's Lord of the Flies. But if you come back to that island in, like, 50 years, there's going to be people still living there, maybe, probably, possibly. It's hard to tell, but most likely you're going to be dealing with a bunch of people who have a far more simplistic culture, frankly, than if you had actually raised them, inculcating good values in them. And if you actually aren't teaching them by the time that they actually grow up to have, you know, fully developed prefrontal cortex and everything, like, you're not really going to go anywhere with that, you know. It's going to be difficult to be able to get back in and teach somebody. So it's like sort of primitive and civilized, I think, has a connotation with people where they believe it to be intrinsic, when it's like, well, no, because if you take a child that was born in that village and do the exact same thing where you just swap it out and put it into a society and you like, and it doesn't matter the color of the people, like, obviously, you just swap them right out, and then you plop them down into just, you know, your regular American family. That person's just going to grow up as a regular American. There's going to be some things that's, like, a little bit different from the parents, because they're not genetically related, so there's going to be a little bit of an incompatibility there. Not an incompatibility, but, like, a need for understanding of, oh, you have something that's genetic that I haven't got, so it's not really reflective of me, so I actually have to understand what about you, and a bit of a mystery there. But everybody has to reverse engineer themselves in the first place, so it's, you know, that person's going to be just as intelligent. I said that, yes, there are people all around the world who aren't doing well, and there are things that they can and should do about it to increase net value to themselves and others. But the fact they aren't doing well is a result of a combination of factors that got them there. Be those factors the actions of others or the actions of themselves, they both contribute. And I think in a broader sense, the actions, I mean the inaction, or just simply life being the way that it is, reality being the way that it is. Things just are what they are. Do not blame me. But it's like, it's not really anybody's fault that anybody ended up in a particular situation necessarily. It's just some of those things are just the way that they are. We have a tendency to try to moralize whenever we see anything. And it's like, well, it's kind of tough to apply a moral sense to the world when, or the universe or reality, when it's, it might not actually totally be there. So I think people just have to be aware of that. There must be a balance between justice and grace taken into consideration at an individual level, rights and responsibility, acts and accountability. And so that's that's just sort of what I had enumerated in that predicament. I thought that I would go over that real quick. But yeah, most of these weren't too funny. I don't know where the idea that I don't like Jewish people comes from. If you want any sort of a indication to the contrary, you can see my Twitter. Rainey commends Elliot Rodger. I don't know if I've ever spoken publicly about Elliot Rodger, but Elliot Rodger was an incel domestic terrorist, so it's a weird thing. Weird accusation to levy. Chevy to the levee.